Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Alex here with a quick message ahead of today's episode. So this super happy fun holiday special we recorded actually gets pretty bleak towards the end and touches on some triggers including alcoholism, suicide and more besides. So if you want a happy, carefree holiday period, you may want to skip this one. Just saying.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Narrow Margin, Joe Ormond, Kyle Kane, Urchin, Hayley Gullen. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hello and welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. This is the second half of our Christmas special, and today I am your host, Bryn Monroe, and with me I have
Ben Meredith,
Alex Newell,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Anil Goody.
Welcome back to Anil, our special guest for these Christmas episodes. He is our community manager. As you'll remember from last week, you've probably interacted with him on Facebook or Twitter or the forums if you interact with the company in any of those places. So, if you need any other reminders, we're playing Fiasco, the game of disaster.
Which won't apply because it's Christmas, and Christmas is great and wonderful for everyone.
Absolutely nothing bad will happen. Probably not. Game of Fiasco. Fiasco is a role-playing game, and it's also an improv game designed by a guy called Jason Morningstar. We're using a Christmas-themed playset from Elizabeth Bowman and Lindsay Peters, with some minor edits by our very own Anil. And we'll do a very brief recap of the characters we've got enmeshed in this soon-to-be horribly awful situation.
So I am Leonardo Tiptoe Trap. I am in a figure skating duo with Ben's character, Randall Hammerstein.
I was.
That's the awkward thing. And I am currently in a figure skating duo with Lydia's character, who is...
Janice on Ice. It's really great to be part of this. To have you with me in this endeavour. That's really great. I'm really interested in seeing how all of this plays out.
So me and Ben have a need to carry on a tradition, which is sort of self-explanatory, and me and Lydia are basically the Xmas special should be hosted by you.
Yeah, it's interesting how Alex's needs, while both of them very real, tell him different directions.
We're in the town of Weatherton, and the imminent event is a special icecapade. An icecapade the town is hosting, covered by local media, with some very talented figure skaters there, and we've assembled a judging panel.
Yeah, and then you've got the two newspaper journalists, haven't you?
Yes, so my character, Dylan Hammerstein, is the brother of Ben's character, glorious figure skater. I work for the Weatherton Inquirer, which is totally a reputable and reliable information source.
You have not broken a single reputable story in years. I am Kevin Rogers, reporter for the Weatherton Gazette, the most reputable, some might say the only reputable
think you're
show
better
in
than
town.
Me.
Yes.
Hi, and I'm the HR manager at the Weatherton Gazette. It's great. Both me and Kevin We're secret Santas in the office. Isn't that great? I might have arranged the gifts.
So, there's a lot going on after last week's episode, so do go back and recap if you need to.
Not one to skip part one on.
No. Yeah. Setup is everything.
Again, if you see part two and say, I'm going to listen to this first, what are you, a monster?
Some people like to live dangerously. Don't
I live in confusion.
It's always someone's first episode.
Yeah. Well, they should read the bit that says part two and go, oh, I should probably
stop picking
part
a fight with the new people.
Go back!
Our community is valuable, Ben!
Go back!
We love you, even if your choices seem strange to us.
I'm going to have to work really hard on that one.
we don't always understand why people made the choice, but we respect and support them in those choices.
Indeed, are you a good HR manager or bad? You're swinging wildly here.
So,
I don't know,
typical HR manager.
Yeah. It sounds
good. Of our listeners might be HR managers, guys. Let's not criticise them too harshly.
They're not the evil ones. None of us are evil.
Yeah, we've already alienated Americans, yep. Just all of them, mm-hmm. And also people who, listen to numbered things weirdly. So, why not HR managers?
Demographic.
There are some
HR managers.
There are a lot of people that reverse the direction on their scrolling on their computers, and we can't
for
that.
So, we ended last week's episode.
Invert the X-axis.
By rolling for the tilt, which is a completely separate setting to the X-axis. And what that led us to was that something is going to go horribly wrong. And we got the specific prompt, you thought it was taken care of, but it isn't. And any player or character can bring that prompt in at any point in a scene. But something that we thought was taken care of has not been. And remember, we've got all the relationships, objects, needs and locations that were given to us as prompts at the beginning, in the setup phase, at the beginning of the last episode. We are headed towards some sort of monumental failure. Mm-hmm. If we're going in the same turn order, it will be Alex's turn. And Alex will once again get to set up or resolve a scene.
So I can either, to reiterate this, I can either set up the scene and leave other people to decide if it works or doesn't.
Yep.
Or I pick whether I'm a success or failure and then people tell me what scene I succeeded or failed in.
Yep.
I choose to resolve.
Okay, guys. So that means to give Alex a scene involving his character.
He could be in the middle of an argument between us because we've got the panel together for the first time.
Yeah, so it's the first dress rehearsal sort of thing.
I don't think there's a dress rehearsal. I think people are about to arrive in maybe 20 minutes and you're getting ready to...
So it's the dressing room.
Yeah, dressing room. It's 20 minutes before people arrive. You're finally all in the same place. One of you is late, maybe. We'll see. What does Alex's character want in this scene? Does he just want the other two to get along?
Alex wants harmony, ideally, yeah.
So, Alex, you have the ability at some point during the scene to pick a white die, which means your character gets what they want, or a red die, which means they do not get what they want.
Oh, Randall. thank you, guy. I really thought you weren't going to make it.
Yeah, no, I was going to make it. Look.
Okay.
I'm already in my tux, so...
Great, fantastic.
Just skip the bit.
Yep, okay, great. So, Randall, check. On ice, do you have everything set? Do we have the dry ice? Do we have...
Yeah!
You're good?
Yeah, okay. We do. Okay, I've got all of that sorted out.
Oh, cool.
So, a lot of these things have been donated in kind by local businesses, so make sure that you list the names clearly.
Oh, really?
Yeah!
Okay. Look, this is a charity fundraiser, not a corporate event.
This is how we get extravaganza comes from those of us who are able to manage relationships.
This is about skating. I'm not just reading out brand names.
This is about the community.
What is this? Great sport
future.
And skill. Brought to you by window cleaning things.
Well, actually, window cleaning McThing have been doing a really good job in cleaning up the ice rink.
Okay, really? You've got a window
enough, clean? Enough,
did
enough,
you clean
enough,
the ice rink?
Enough,
I don't think
enough,
so.
Enough. Okay, this is fine. It's Christmas. Everything's great, okay? All of the stuff is set. Randall's here. We're all together. Everything's fine. We're going to go out.
Great.
And we're going to... yes, it is, okay? So all the children... Yeah, the children, they're
going to
see this. And they're
going
to watch... And they're going
to
do the thing.
Oh,
I can't breathe.
Wait, we're going to judge the children?
Yeah!
What kind of thing is this?
It's a competition. Okay.
Yeah, but what, between children?
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be adults. I thought this was going to be professional.
Enough. Right. We're going to go out. We're going to smile, okay? This isn't going to happen again, okay? This is going to be a success. Everything's going to be good, and we're all going to smile. And people are going to say, how's it been working together? We're going to say it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's been good
fun.
So we're
just going to lie.
Yes, that's what we're going to do.
Some of us are more concerned with the community.
Yeah, like me. And some of us are just concerned with how we look in front of that community, like you.
Ronald.
Okay, I'm vetoing this situation, okay?
What? Vetoing?
Yes, it's a thing.
Ringo?
Okay,
wait,
please.
You know my name, I know
please.
You know my name.
Please, please, okay? We're going to go out and we're going to do this, okay?
Reggie.
So you're set and Randall, you have everything. You have your boots and you have everything set, yes?
Wait, boots?
Yeah, I've got my boots.
We've been over this.
Well, maybe because I'm the best skater in this town, and I'm going to be doing an exhibition.
Oh, that's very interesting, because I haven't seen you invited to skate.
Well, Leonardo invited me. Didn't you tell her?
Yes!
You just ignored her.
You were invited to judge.
We have to go onto the ice anyway. We're all meant to demonstrate what our skills are, so I figured we could just kind of lump it all together, you know?
Yeah, you know. Oh, and hey, you say this is a competition? Let's make it one.
No, let's
maybe
not.
Maybe me and you.
Let's
on
not
the
do
ice.
That as a thing.
Throwing down.
I'm going to go ahead and grab that big shiny red dice there. Because that's the way the wind was always going to blow.
Yeah. And then maybe the person who wins is the person who is allowed to skate with Leonardo. If I win, you two have to break up.
You broke that up a long time ago.
Yeah, well, maybe I made a mistake.
Oh my gosh, stop pushing the buttons.
Right, that's interesting.
Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I regret my decision. Maybe I'm
the host, the main stage.
Okay, I'm going.
Me and you on the ice for him.
Admission.
This is so weird. I am calling a scene there.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Outstanding.
I just want some agency, guys.
Well,
I just
you
want
said
some
you wanted
agency.
The stakes raised.
Absolutely.
So that means that I get to do a thing?
Yeah.
Yep. Establish or resolve.
Oh, resolving was really good. But I'm...
Can you handle that power?
So I'm going to establish this scene, and it's been us three, so I'm going to do one between Kevin and Dylan.
Cool.
Kevin is in the bathroom, and Dylan has followed him in, because... Randall has told him that there is only one seat next to the mayor in the press pit, and Dylan wants that seat.
Okay. I want his seat.
You want his seat.
Standing.
Only one seat has been reserved for the reputable
press.
Paper.
Yep.
And if this might end in the bathroom with the door locked...
Who knows?
Yeah, I wonder where this could go.
Okay, so anyone else at the table can resolve. So it could be me or Anil who are in this scene, could be someone else picking up a die, handing it to one of us at one point, probably me, since I'm the one who wants something. You get to tell me whether I achieve it or not.
Okay, so Kevin's just heard the call for everyone to get assembled, just getting ready. He's got a shiny press badge on his lanyard. He's really proud of this. He's covering the event probably for like the third year in a row, even though he's not that big a fan of ice skating.
Hey,
but he's just wandered in. Right.
Clunk.
Dylan.
How did you know it was me, man?
I can see you in the mirror.
Ah, oh, damn. You know what, Kevin? You have had so much time covering this event. You are so chummy with the mayor, and I can't stand it anymore. And also, you know nothing about ice skating, dude. Come on.
Really? If you only worked a little bit in your life, Dylan...
I don't have all your advantages. I'm not chummy with the mayor. I'm not covering
up. I'm a reputable journalist.
You know as well as I do, you found evidence of shady backroom dealings, which you're too scared to show to the people who read your paper.
Editorial control is very important. even if there is evidence, and I'm not saying that there is...
I know, and you know. No one else is here. No one else can see this or hear this. Just be honest with yourself for once.
I'm going to take a white dice and give it to Bryn.
Be honest with myself. I'm a journalist for crying out loud. Yes, okay, fine. There is. I've got the papers.
How can you look at yourself in that mirror? No, no, turn! Turn and look at yourself! How can you live with yourself knowing that you've given up on every principle you ever had, on all your journalistic ethics?
I'm on the fast track to editorship here.
Oh, you make me sick, man. Look, I'm going out there.
What, because of your cookies?
They are great, and you take that back.
You remember that report?
Yeah, you want a cookie? You want a cookie?
You remember that report I wrote about all those Santas getting ill?
I punch you in the face. I'm going out there. I am sitting next to the mayor and getting to the bottom of this. And also, I'm going to finally write about the ice skating with a connoisseur's eye. You
what,
are staying in this
stall.
I shove you into a stall.
He rips my lanyard off.
Slam the door behind you and break the lock.
Dylan! Dylan, get back here!
Later, loser!
Dylan Hammerstein!
Oh. That's how we think all Americans.
Pretty much it.
What do you mean, think? That's how it
and
is.
And so the saga of Rodgers and Hammerstein ends.
I had noticed!
I didn't realize you were doing that!
Oh my god!
How did you not see this?
Also, definitely didn't. And it was almost when he was saying, is it Hammerstein or Hammerstein? I was like, you know, like Rodgers and Hammerstein. Just not cocking that at all.
He made his name Kevin Rogers and just quietly slipped it in. Yeah. And it's taken us most of 2 episodes to realize.
We're not used to this kind of play.
Yeah.
That's not how we roll. No, I did a thing. Everyone, look at the thing.
At this table, when you make a joke, you call people's attention to it.
Sometimes you stop, bring things back, and you repeat the joke just so you make sure they got it. And it was really good.
Stowaway.
You're the better.
That joke is going to be months old by the time this comes out.
No, in fact, that joke might not come out until after this has
gone out.
Wait, what?
No,
it'll be fine.
It'll be great either way.
We respect your craft, Daniel.
Thank you.
You don't know what that means.
Right.
Well, after that freak out.
Yeah. Oh, that was amazing. This is why I love Fiasco. Right, it's my turn to establish a scene.
Yep.
My scene is going to be Randall alone on the ice, dancing his heart out. And what is at stake is, does he remind Tippy Toes of how good they used to have it? Does he reawaken the special bond they shared with the beauty of his dancing?
So you're going to have to do all this. That's the entire scene.
So the rest of us, I think you should probably narrate.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll do
it. That's my suggestion. The rest of us, of course, can throw in the reaction of the crowd.
Flavor.
The reaction of other characters. Or
provide Keith for the sound effects, guys.
The environment.
Oh, don't be that person. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Remember, something that we thought was taken care of hasn't been. So at some point during the scene, anyone except me can select one of the die.
Yep.
Hand it to Ben.
Wait, so where are Janice?
Let us know as
ice
it happens.
And are we all
You're
ready
probably
to
watching from the judge's desk. This isn't the competition portion.
Right, right.
This is an exhibitionary dance.
Yeah, I'm assuming that you're probably the last of the three or something.
Yeah. And you'll also probably notice that
we've done our performances.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Where you're expecting Kevin to be in the press pit is now Dylan.
Yeah, they probably don't notice. No one cares about Kevin. Kevin. Sorry,
that was
animosity. To be fair, that's perfectly.
Yeah, so this is an exhibitionary dance, not part of the main competition, but you're probably still sitting at the judges' table. That's up to you.
That was a really simple.
See this?
Doing it for you.
What's the soundtrack?
I'm pretty certain it's Creative Commons music that's available legally.
That's made to sound like Valera.
You damn you.
I was going to vote for Never Had a Dream Come True by S Club 7. Maybe that's just me.
That's what you always vote for.
Yeah.
It's the best.
You've got a list of S Club 7 back catalogue here. Yeah.
In my brain, maybe.
Well, yeah.
So as Randall starts performing, Leonardo
Like, on his face, it registers that he recognises this routine, and it's the last one they did, and he's doing it on his own now. Mm-hmm. And he starts mouthing what all of the things are along, so it's like, triple turn, watch for the heel.
There's a vague murmur of recognition from members of the audience.
We all know what these moves are, Leonardo. We don't need to describe them.
And it's the triple loop. The quadruple loop.
Really, we should be.
He was the only one that managed
about everything. Sponsorship deals.
And then, so, Leonardo, as he's watching it, you know, a look of sudden realization and horror starts passing over his face as he remembers that the last time they did this was what destroyed it. And he's Randall's drawing sort of closer and closer to that move that they couldn't manage last time.
Janice is the first person in the audience to notice the ice is starting to melt. And as she thinks, she realises she can't hear the hum of the cooler in the background. Because whoever was supposed to take care of that hasn't.
Got a lot of donations in kind. People owe me a lot of favours. Yes.
Oh God, he's going to try splitting the Dutchman. Don't split the Dutchman.
And I am going to give myself a red dice.
So you fail to win, yes. Leonardo. Over. You're doing it again. Don't mess it up. Come on, don't do it to yourself again.
The big
again.
Move is approaching, and so Randall has just started to realise that the ice. Much too liquid under his feet.
I really hope so that he's got the enough grip under his
holding
blades.
Holding their breath.
And I'm building my speed.
Really?
I'm building up.
You're going to do it again.
I'm coming to the point in front of the judge's table.
This isn't proving anything, Randall.
And my skates dig in.
I hope he has enough.
And I go flying.
No! Randall!
Leonardo stands, reaches out.
And crash into the judge's table at a really high speed.
There's a sickening crack.
Yep.
Oh.
And Randall lies still.
Oh no, how tragic for us!
Just die, oh. Janice! Just die! And Leonardo runs over to Randall.
He got red dice, mate.
Oh yeah, but here's the thing. He just grabs him, and even though all of that is just, you stupid! Oh, what is wrong with you?
Shaking He's, around the lifeless body.
Yeah. He failed to remind him how good a dancer he was.
Yeah.
Didn't fail to remind him how good a lover he was.
It's just you stupid! You start shaking him around, flopping
Even
around.
After the ashes,
I mean, if there's a spinal damage here, this is just exacerbating the situation. Something fierce.
Mate. Don't move my neck.
No, I'm shaking you. I'm shaking you.
Somebody call an ambulance.
Dylan and Leonardo both distraught over the possible serious injury to Randall, and we're gonna have to take a break there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone. Alex again, because clearly you aren't getting enough of my wonderful voice in this episode. We here at Rusty Towers actually just wanted to use this break to thank you. We've come a really long way this year, and it's all thanks to your support. If it weren't for all of you reviewing and sharing and listening and just being generally brilliant, we never could have come as far as we have. So happy holidays from everyone at Rusty Towers. And now, let's get back to the really sad episode.
And welcome back. So we've just got a couple of final scenes to go, but things are looking pretty upsetting, pretty bleak. And I think it's Anil. Would you like to set up or resolve?
Christmas is going on.
I'm going to establish the scene because Dylan has locked Kevin in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Kevin's story is pretty much over at this point. So I'm going to establish a scene between pretty much carrying on straight from where we are. So Janice.
On ice,
of course. Apologies there, is desperate to try and rectify the situation. The show must go on, and it's up to her to try and push some way to get a resolution out of this.
Is she going to dance?
It might be the only way for her to actually
but the ice
to
is...
actually ignore everything else that's going
Don't
on.
Don't mind me as I continue to weep while still mic'd up.
Because also at this...
Don't do that to the editor. We've only got so many cut noises from James Ross's previous his horrendous chest infections.
So we'll start.
Bet you have a library.
I do.
What's at stake? What does she want?
Janice wants to come out of this
corruption bin all along.
Well, Janice wants to come out of this shining. Mm. So she wants to. If things have gone wrong, she wants to be seen as taking responsibility for.
You can still get credit for rescuing.
Yeah, for rescuing the situation. She'll like look over. She can see her press buddy is not there. She does also see a small box or a largish box by a thing with her name written in suspiciously Kevin's handwriting that she recognises from all the papers at work.
That's so nice. I knew that you would come through.
And we go.
Right, so this is tragic, but you get on the phone, right, we've got a lot of cameras here and the people really need to see material. So you get on the phone and you call that ambulance, right? You call that, is anybody going to... Right, okay, so cameras on me, hello, this is a beautiful expression of Weatherton's spirit. We've all come together to see the future of the town. It's really a shame about the past, but that is how time works. So we're going to cut straight to a great performer who totally deserves to get a host of nationals. Yeah, it's really because you know how Christmas should always be hosted. By somebody special. Okay, so let's do this. Right.
The audience is like, their focus is really drawn to you. You're
set up the scene. You don't get to give Lydia.
And the white dice turns red.
Especially because Anna grabbed the white dice as I was going putting my hand towards the red.
Right, so let's see cameras on me. Okay, guys. Somebody's going to save the show, which must go on. Whatever Creative Commons music that Janice on Ice Smith has selected from a beautiful series of something classical, you know, something powerful. And
I will do anything for each, for them. And just go through all of them.
Evangelist's Conquest of Paradise.
It's a beautiful medley of songs.
Oh, there you
using
go.
No more than 10 seconds of any individual song at once.
Maybe not.
She's spinning. She's like, camera.
The entire room is basically silent as this is happening, and then halfway through the performance,
can I hear a "Let's Love Weatherton"? Let's love.
At some point, Janice's skates go through a bit of blood left on the ice, and she is now. For the second half of the performance, every move she makes leaves a little red trail behind her.
Finally, it's just...
It's really bad taste.
Finally caving to the inevitable. Even the music is cut, but Janice isn't stopping.
At that point, the paramedics rush in.
She can see that she has lost most of the crowd.
Her dancing has got worse and worse because the ice is just not in good state. It's slack.
Right, you know what? I think it would be brilliant if as a community... How about we raffle off this prize?
One, two, three.
The fiend.
As she opens the box, she realizes that Dylan has replaced the fruitcake in there. Bunch of cookies.
That's such a weird move.
Now everyone's going to think that she has a drug problem.
She's given the box to children, okay? So, and before opening it. So, you know what? The spirit of Weatherton and the spirit of Christmas are coming together in this time of negative. Deep struggle.
He's allergic to
beauty. There's a beauty in the future. So I am going to give this beautiful present to our future.
Scene. Well,
she does not know what's in the box.
No,
but escalated.
Welcome to Fiasco. Yeah. Right, so we have one final scene before we see the terrible state left that all our characters have been left in, and it's Lydia. Would you like to set up or resolve?
So, how about this is a scene between the two journalists, and we begin to find out what the corruption was all along. Ooh. Okay, so setting one up between the two of you, where what one of you want is to bring the Janice Mayer edifice down, and what you want... is that only one person?
Ideally, only one person, so you can hand them
I mean, you want to crack this thing right open and revenge your
brother. Dylan's been given, like, a proper chance here, which is, after all of this, you get the dissection, you get the sort of journalistic... Yep. Like,
okay, so I mean, flash-forward kind of thing.
This is flash-forward to Dylan maybe writing his story about the incredible corruption. And he might have quotes from a lot of the people that were involved.
Yeah, so you'll get to bring in whoever you want here, really.
But by now, the inhabitants of Weatherton all know what happened on the fateful night my brother died. The disaster on ice.
No!
We can trace its origins back to the deal between the mayor and the Weatherton Gazette. The Weatherton Gazette got all the advantages in covering what was supposed to be a celebration of the beauty of figure skating. But the money that should have been spent on maintaining the ice rink, the money that should have been spent on making sure the ice was safe to dance on, was spent on enriching those behind the deal. My name is Dylan Hammerstein, and this is the story of the disaster on ice. Leonardo, you were involved in the events of that fateful night. You were the one who brought Randall there. But you weren't at fault in what happened next. What did you see as he began his dance?
I guess I saw what's probably the best the best figure skating exhibition I've ever seen. But I mean, I also saw the results of years of corruption, of in-dealing, and basically the tip of the iceberg, and I watched it melt. And as much as you say it might not have been my fault, he wouldn't have been there if it weren't for me. I think really in the Weatherton disaster, the X-stravaganza, I think a lot of them are calling it now, I mean, basically, I think we were all to blame, but that is not necessarily saying that there is anyone who should be let off the hook. And yeah, of course I am. I am talking about Rogers.
We managed to arrange an interview with disgraced former journalist Kevin Rogers. After he saw what happened that night, after he realized that part of the blame for the death of my brother would be on his conscience, he left the Weatherton Gazette, and he brought me the entire record of all the corruption that he'd been covering up. And in fact, he's begun to redeem himself by his part in this investigation. Kevin, tell us what went through your mind as you woke up from the toilet stall and realized what had happened.
Just happened to be drugged and unconscious.
Let's not talk about that bit.
Yeah,
the events of that night are a little bit hazy. Yeah, let's just say. Yeah.
Not really sure who left you unconscious in the toilet.
It's all a bit of a blur, really.
Honestly, it happens a lot.
But, yeah. It opened my eyes. You opened my eyes. It's hard. You know how it is. A journalist on the beat in this town. No? But, yeah.
I ship it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I did. I brought you the evidence, the papers, the dossier, the recordings I have of Janice on ice and the mayor. They were all in it. It was collusion from the get-go. They wanted the network money. They wanted to enrich themselves, get big out of this. But, you know, they get all of these perks, these benefits, and they try and cut corners. They want to keep more of it for themselves.
Thank you, Kevin. You've done a lot for this town, and we're proud to have you now as part of the team on the Weatherton Inquirer.
Spelt with an I sometimes.
Yeah.
Only sometimes.
We'll see about those improving editorial standards.
The
other figure at the centre of this investigation, of course, was Janice.
On ice.
On ice, Smith. Sadly, of course, we couldn't get her comment for this documentary. She's currently awaiting trial.
On
charges of supplying illegal substances to minors.
Like
she's
loads,
very
just,
much
just loads.
On ice. So I'd just like to end this documentary with some footage of my brother as a teenager when he was still learning to figure skate, when he was still in love with the sport before things went wrong. Once we thought he could have been an Olympic contestant, and well,
there was a lot of faffing left and right with white and red there.
Really, for our podcast, we've really learned how to mime, how to threaten each other with dice silently.
Bryn's been vamping for like two minutes as we have this argument.
Just so you know, we have fun sometimes that you don't get to see.
This is for us as well.
There's a lot of dice threatening been going on. So, stealing of dice from people.
I handed Bryn a white die.
Yeah, in the end.
I tried to hand him a red
die. Yeah, we've all tried things.
I really feel that my brother's words about his love of the sport speak for themselves.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I'm out on the ice, I just feel like a different person, you know? The connection between, you know, the ice and my feet and my whole body is just, you know, I'm transformed into something not quite human, something more. You know,
transcendent.
I am become transcendent.
On ice.
And you know, I'm early in my career, but I've met this great guy, and I think we're going to form a partnership together. We've been at the county level, the county figure skating championship is a really big deal, and we've got something really special. So I think together we can go far.
Regionals.
Oh wait, we've got to do the aftermath now. Surely that's your closers at credits for your documentary. You know this person.
Yeah. So the final part of the game Fiasco is known as the aftermath, which is generally narrated as a montage. But to decide,
I mean, we're still in the documentary.
One last thing to do, which is to decide the fate of our characters. We roll any dice left in front of us and look at the aftermath table.
I mean, I'm already dead, so...
The higher the score, the better.
No, it's the difference between your white and your red, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you've got all of one colour, then it's just... So everyone roll the dice in front of them.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Oh, hang on.
Right, so there is a table here, which you do red minus white, or white minus red, whichever gives you a positive result. So I've rolled 3 white dice, and my total score is white 10. And the book says, not too shabby. You've made it out with dignity intact through some fluke. There might even be a little profit or self-respect or something. Which is about as good as Fiasco ever gets, which fits quite nicely. So, Dylan Hammerstein went on to become a reasonably successful documentary filmmaker. He never did learn to spell, but he kicked his drug habit, got clean, and became something of an auteur in the field. He also, of course, covered several Winter Olympics.
I'm so happy for him.
Dedicated much of the money he made to founding an ice skating school in the name of his brother. And to this day, kids still come to train there.
I'm just thinking that the name is like the ice skating school for people who can't skate. Yeah.
there's every year the kids like they look around. No,
it's just called Ice Stravaganza.
There's a rumour that there's secret like cookies.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Somewhere around, but you know, so every year the kids look for them.
They're digging for the chest.
Should we pass this round? Or?
Yep.
So I had one white die.
Oh dear.
And I got white 1. Dreadful.
Oh no.
You are certainly dead.
Oh dear.
Probably from a self-inflicted wound.
Oh my God.
People you care about are also probably dead, maybe through your own stupid failure. To say that you messed up is an insult to messed upness. You have redefined
I tried to rescue you, Anil, but you rolled badly. Okay. Now this is your fate. Tell us what happened to Kevin.
We do need to talk about him.
Kevin dead.
It's been on my head for the entire
Kevin Rogers, after a lot was weighing on his conscience, and despite the hand of friendship and the second chances offered to him by Dylan Hammerstein and the staff at the Weatherton Inquirer, let's just say he went on to make other bad editorial decisions. He hadn't quite learned from his mistake.
Dude loves bribes. I just love the bribes.
He tried. He really tried to be on the straight and narrow. But unfortunately,
it's illegal. Hashtag it changed how I presented the story.
He really did want to try and be on the straight and narrow, and for a time,
hashtag dirty filthy liar.
Was this entire story about ethics in ice skating?
Indeed, it was. But one story after another, and he just couldn't—he couldn't get away from his baser nature.
Until Instagram, the bribes I took.
Until one fateful evening, it just all got too much. The sirens were coming. And so he took a gun.
Oh, no.
And he was found, slumped over his editing desk, an antique typewriter covered in blood to his side. Still.
And bought with bribe money.
Okay, so Lydia had one red die and one white die.
Yeah.
Sadly, didn't cancel them out. Her final score is white 2, merciless.
You might not be dead on the outside, but you are sure as heck dead on the inside. The emotional or mental wounds you have suffered will never heal. The future is a brick wall. Hi! So I'm new here in prison. I think that we're all going to get on fine. What's that? That doesn't sound nice. No. No, I think I'd really like to be on the rota for the cleaning shift. I think I should be in charge. Anyone? I really deserve to be on the rota at the top of the... No.
So I have a red 1 and a red 5, which I believe makes me...
Red 6.
Pathetic. You'll suffer. Oh dear God, will you suffer? And everyone will know of your malfeasance, your stupidity, your lack of common sense and decency. You're probably going to be locked up too.
Oh dear, that's worse than I thought.
Okay.
Adjacent cells?
oh, let me get my documentary voice on. Subsequent to the events of the extravaganza, Leonardo Tiptoe Trap turned to drink, unable to handle the trauma of having watched his partner die as a direct result of his actions. And whether the culpability lay there, he certainly felt it was such. And so, he did not perish quickly, but he made sure he perished slowly. Eventually, on one fateful night, drunk at the wheel, he crashed. And though he did not die, he did permanently injure himself in such a way that not only will he never skate again, he will never walk. And even now, he refuses medical treatment, as he believes that this is what he deserves.
Bloody hell.
That's pretty grim, mate.
This is the game.
Yeah.
Wow. Waka waka waka.
Christmas
special.
Yay.
Woo.
Christmas
time. Oh, we want to hear about the cheery end of the dead dude.
Well, I got 5 red, and I'm already dead.
So this is your reputation, basically, and you're legendary.
You were getting whipped like a rented mule, for starters. And you will remember this episode for all of your diminished date. Pretty severely diminished. The lesson you learn will be profound, lingering, and painful.
You're the moral of the story.
As your life flashes before your eyes, you're sadly disappointed.
Yeah, no, I think that's the thing. With what happened with all the actors, Randall is not remembered. He is a footnote on ice skating history, that close to being great. He's one of those people.
Of love and fame.
Whenever they do sort of like a documentary or an interview about ice skating and the legacy comes up of like British ice skating or American ice skating.
I'm pretty sure. Wherever he's if it's in British ice skating, he's travelled quite far then.
Yeah. But he's always the one that they mention. Yeah, he could have done something great.
Moving on.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Not even a cautionary tale.
Mayor.
It's just nothing.
Went off with all the money.
Oh yeah, the mayor got away scot free.
Woo! Yeah, we got a lot of press attention to the town. The hotels were full. A couple of new restaurants.
The mayor was the ultimate PR spin artist.
Great time.
I have to say, I did. Well, I did Kevin was her four expect guy. My stoner black sheep of the family. Working for the terrible trash paper to end up the hero of that story who lived happily ever after.
Yeah.
Hooray!
It's no
unexpected outcomes.
Woo, the moral of the story is don't try.
I'm yes, sad see where it got Kevin.
Thank you for joining us for our
super appropriate Christmas
special. We hope you'll tune in when we'll probably be back to our regularly scheduled programming next week.
Probably. Where it'll be cheerful.
So bleak.
Again, I promise, fiasco.
I promise nice things happen sometimes to some people.
Yeah, but you can't really predict it based on whether they're dry or not.
It's all terrible.
Sometimes good things happen to bad people.
Merry Christmas!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
You monster.
I have responsibilities. And ambition. Oh, it's okay, Alex. I mean, it's not, but...
But we can pretend it is long enough. Yeah. We can pretend until we're dead.
That's the moral of Christmas.
Pretend until you're dead.
Pretend until the end of the day, at least.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.